Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. We're talking Packers football as always. It's the end of March. It's the time where we are transitioning from free agency to full-on NFL draft focus. Not that we haven't been talking about the NFL draft for pretty much since the season ended, but it's becoming the focus here real quick. And in fact, later this week, we'll be having Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com and bleacherreport.com joining us here at Railbird Central on Wednesday for a little bit of NFL draft talk. I'm going to try to line up an NFL draft analyst on Friday. So going to be all sorts of stuff to talk about regarding that. There wasn't a whole lot of Packers news going on over this weekend. Heck, I think everybody was in basketball mode over the weekend with the opening of the NCAA tournament. So there isn't a whole lot to recap that we haven't touched on already here at Cheesehead TV. We've already touched on Greg Jennings going to the Vikings, Tom Crabtree going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How great was it to have Tom Crabtree on the show last Friday? Man, he's awesome. I thank him so much for what he's done for Cheesehead TV. It was great to hear him maybe for the last time on this show. I'd love to have Tom on any time. Just not too much more Packers talk from him. But one thing I guess to get our NFL draft focus going on here, one thing I'd like to talk about is maybe my own participation, and I don't want this to be a discussion about me, but I've been taking part in another or the latest round of the Mach1.net entire seven-round mock drafts that they do. This is now Mach 4. If you want to, it probably sounds confusing. What it is an NFL draft, on Twitter. It also, as Jamie puts the link up on the website here, Mach1.net, that's kind of the clearinghouse or the central website that keeps everything and updates everything. But what it is people on Twitter representing every NFL team getting together to do an entire seven-round mock draft. Yes, quite an ambitious project. It takes a lot of coordination on behalf of the guys at Mach1.net to do this, put this together, find that many people to do this, for one, representing all NFL teams, and finding people knowledgeable enough to not only, select the guys in the first round, but then select the guys in the seventh round as well. And I think it really is a fun exercise. And I had previously taken part in Mach 3, their third attempt at this, and now again in Mach 4, their fourth attempt at this. And I think they'll probably even be doing Mach 5 after it's all said and done one more time before the NFL draft. But anyway, I kind of wanted to go over some of our picks just to talk about prospects in the NFL draft, what I think, what I thought, what the Packers may or may not do, things like that. So a couple days ago, it ended up starting, last week sometime. I forget when exactly the exact day, but maybe last Wednesday was it? Anyhow, so it starts. The first round begins, and by the time the Packers selection comes up at number 26, I tell you, and you can go look at it at Mach1.net there at the link if you want to take a look at it. I didn't like the way the board fell for the Packers. I thought a lot of the best prospects had already come off the board. And I mean, obviously, it's the first round that the first guys are going to come off the board. But, you know, I thought there was maybe one or two guys who might slip to the Packers. And it just didn't happen. You know, the top safeties were off the board. Jonathan Cyprian, or Cyprin, pardon me, and Kenny Vaccaro were gone. Tight end Tyler Eifert was gone. You know, the best defensive linemen were gone. And it really was frustrating a little bit that you're just like, gosh, you know, why didn't any of these guys drop? And so anyway, you know, I'm taking part in this mock draft exercise with a crew of four people. Cheesehead TV's own Zach Cruz, who I'm sure you're familiar with his writing, over at allgreenbaypackers.com, Marcus Eversall, and then at over at draftbreakdown.com, Justice Mosqueda. And all together, the four of us, we kind of come to a consensus on who the Packers should take. And I can see John here in our live blog looked it up, who we took. We ended up taking with our first-round draft picks Jesse Williams, a defensive lineman from the University of Alabama. And Fip on the live blog says, loved all the picks. Well, thank you, Fip. Even I didn't like all our picks, so thank you. I was outnumbered on our first-round draft choice. Other people in our war room like Jesse Williams, and it's not as if I don't like Jesse Williams. It's just that I'm not sure he is first-round material. What he is a big, burly dude from the University of Alabama, a defensive lineman who weighs 320-plus pounds. He's about 6'3", I believe, and he is maybe one of the best run stuffers in the entire NFL draft. You know, there's this whole argument about the Packers needing to get tougher, more physical. And I give you this, Jesse Williams is definitely going to do that for you. He brings that to the table. And that, if the Packers end up getting him, that is one thing I won't, you know, complain about. He definitely brings the physicality aspect to the Packers team. But what I don't like about Jesse Williams is he was not even a three-down player, even at the University of Alabama. He would come off the field when you know, it came down to third downs, passing downs a lot of the time. And I think when you draft a first-round player, I think you got to look for a three-down person, you know, a guy who can always be on the field. And again, I there's a lot of things I like about Jesse Williams. I think he could end up being the long-term replacement for a guy like Ryan Pickett. He's a lot like Ryan Pickett. He'll eat up blocks. He's good in run defense. As you guys know, Ryan Pickett's a good player, but he's not a pass rusher. Never has, never will be. And now Ryan Pickett's getting old, so I can see that, you know, you want to maybe get his long-term replacement, and that's basically what you're getting. Except I don't even know if in 2013 Ryan Pickett needs replacing, though. You know, he's still good enough, or at least he was last season, to be out on the field. So are you even taking a guy who's going to see that much playing time in year one? So there's that. And, you know, my group mates, my war room teammates in Mach 1, in Mach 4, I guess, disagreed with me. And that's fine. That's fine. We're all wrong at certain points, and maybe I'm the one who's wrong. I mean, if the Packers end up taking Jesse Williams, I'll be his biggest fan. So, you know, we'll see how things play out. So Fip asked if they disagreed with us on DeTone Jones. And I know, for one, our own Zach Cruz here at Cheesehead TV is a fan of DeTone Jones, the UCLA defensive end. And you know, Zach's got me coming around a little bit on DeTone Jones. He's a little bit more undersized than I want to see out of a Packers 3-4 defensive end. DeTone Jones is only like 280-something. And while he's got the nice height, I think he's like 6'4". I'd like to see a guy who's 300 pounds from that position. But Zach's making me, you know, like him a little bit more. Anyway, as it stood, my first-round preference was still running back Eddie Lacy as far as the players who were available at that point. Now, if you go back and look at mock1.net and you saw who was there, that would have been my first choice, would have been Alabama running back Eddie Lacy. And you know, I don't know what to think. I'm not in love with Eddie Lacy either, to tell you the truth. Like I said, I would have loved to have drafted a safety in round one, but some of those guys weren't available. Cyprin and Vaccaro weren't available, so what do you do? I thought about reaching for a guy like Eric Reed of LSU, actually, in round one. He was on my short list of players who I would have taken, but among the guys that were available, I would have taken Eddie Lacy. Fip asked, Elam was there, though? Yes, Matt Elam was there. I am not a big fan of Matt Elam. Again, I don't dislike Matt Elam, but he's like 5'10". I just don't think you draft a 5'10 safety in the first round. Maybe you do later. Maybe you do in the second round or the third round if he's still there. But I just don't think you reach for a 5'10 safety in the first round. That's why I like Cyprin. That's why I like Vaccaro. Those guys are like 6 foot, and they're physical. So is Matt Elam. But you know, they have the height with them as well. That's what gives them the advantage. But those guys weren't available. So Eddie Lacy would have been my pick, and the Packers get a big bruising running back that you can trade on and off with DeJuan Harris, I guess. You know, that's the way I see it. So, okay. So first round is over. Second round comes around. And again, there's one thing here that I'm not liking. I think the Packers could really use help at safety. So the best guys come off the board in round one. By the time the Packers come around in round two, more safeties are gone. So that's a little bit frustrating. But I did like the way the board fell in the second round. There was a lot of guys I liked. And as you could see, our choice in round two was Oregon State wide receiver Marcus Wheaton, and I liked him a lot. He was on my college fantasy football team this past year, and not only did he produce this year in 2012, he produced as a junior last year as well. He's a guy who I think has a lot of similarities to Greg Jennings. He's got some good speed, not elite speed, but good speed, and got the job done at Oregon State, despite having another very good wide receiver there at OSU. Those guys kind of had to share the ball, but the quarterback did a good job of distributing it down there at Oregon State. And I thought Wheaton is a guy who has the ability to take it to the house, as a guy has the ability to get behind defenses. I liked that. He was not my number one pick, actually, but I am very happy to have him. Again, we had four brains together when round two came along, and actually my top choice was San Diego State tight end Gavin Escobar. And if you follow me on Twitter, I think I said this maybe over the weekend sometime, I could easily see the Packers taking a tight end in the first round or two in this NFL draft, because of the JerMichael Finley contract situation. You know, I think he's going to end up playing under this 1 year left on his contract. But what do you do then? What do you do next year? I don't think you want that situation holding the organization hostage, in that you feel compelled next year to re-sign JerMichael Finley. John says on the live blog, if Eifert is available in round one, I see the Packers taking him. I don't disagree. I would certainly consider him in round one. He in Mach 4, he wasn't available when the Packers selected. So, you know, that's, you know, that plays into the equation as well. So I think the Packers could go tight end. So next year, they're ready for the rookie to play a bit role this year, be like the number two guy, kind of share time in a two tight end system with Finley. And then in year two, he's ready to take over as the number one guy, a guy like Gavin Escobar. So there you go. I mean, that's what I see, what I'd like to see happen in round two. But I was outvoted a little bit. A lot of the other guys in our war room in Mach 4 had liked Marcus Wheaton, and I liked Marcus Wheaton too, so I was happy to go that direction. We were also talking about Louisiana Tech's wide receiver Quentin Patton. That was one of the guys who was up there, and I like him as well. Really, I thought the Packers could go no wrong with any of those receiving-type threats, whether it was you know, Escobar or, you know, any of those other two wide receivers. So that's, I like the way the board felt in round two. A lot of receivers available in that area. Corey asks on the live blog, is it possible we see more DJ Williams, Ryan, pardon me, Ryan Taylor and Andrew Corliss this year as a buffer between possibly losing Finley? Definitely. In fact, folks, as you may have seen in our Twitter widget there, just to the left of the live blog, you can see the this morning's Packers Daily Links that I already posted. Tight end DJ Williams wants a larger role. In an interview with Fox Sports Wisconsin, he said he wants to be a starter. And, you know, there's, of course, a big difference between saying it and doing it. And, you know, it's fine that he wants that, but, you know, in the first two seasons in Green Bay, DJ Williams has done remarkably little in a Packers uniform. You know, 9 receptions in his first 2 years, and this for a guy who had some big-time college production at Arkansas. It, you know, was the John Mackey Award winner for the nation's most outstanding tight end. So, you know, to kind of come in with those kind of expectations, you know, I don't want to say the expectations were high because he was a 4th round draft choice, but, you know, I think people maybe expected more or hoped for more than 9 receptions in 2 years. Was it, John says he's a, was DJ Williams a 5th round? There you go. Yeah, even lower than I had said. I just think people expected more than what they've gotten out of him already. And, you know, he's young. He's young. There's time for him to develop. You know, the thing working against DJ Williams is his height. He's only 6'2". He's not, you know, JerMichael Finley. He's not going to create those mismatches, those height disadvantages against maybe a safety or things like that. So he's got that working against him a little bit. And I had actually gotten into a discussion this weekend on Twitter with somebody who had really liked Florida's Jordan Reed in the NFL draft this year. And the thing I pointed out is Jordan Reed, this year's NFL draft prospect, is 6'2 as well. I'm sorry, but I can't see the Packers drafting another 6'2 tight end this year. You know, they've already got one of those in DJ Williams. They don't need another. If they're going to draft a tight end, and I could see that very likely being a possibility, they need a guy who's you know, 6'5", 6'6". And that's what Gavin Escobar brings to the table, who could be available in round two. Or a guy like Vance McDonald from Rice. So, those are some of my opinions there on round two. Round three comes around in mock four, our mock draft here. And it was almost a unanimous decision. Everybody's top choice of the players still available on the board was Wisconsin center Travis Frederick. Was still around by the end of the third round, and I thought that was fantastic. Here, the Packers could possibly get the top center in this year's draft class all the way down to the third round. Actually, Barrett Jones of Alabama was already off the board, but in my opinion, he's not even the top center. I like Barrett Jones, I do, but I like Travis Frederick more. So when he was still available, I think the Packers could get a guy who's potentially a starter. I think he could compete from day one with Evan Dietrich Smith at the center position. I'm sure the Packers will give Dietrich Smith the first crack at the job, seeing as he has the knowledge of the system and the experience and all that. But I still think Frederick could give him a run for his money. And you gotta say too that, you know, Evan Dietrich Smith will only be playing under a 1 year contract this year. He could be gone a year from now. And in that case, even if Frederick isn't a starter in year one, he could be by year two. So I think that was a no brainer to everyone. You know, we had other guys we discussed, but I mean, it wasn't even part of the, you know, major discussions. It's just like, just take Travis Frederick. And you know, I like, if Frederick was gone, I was all about taking Cal's Brian Schwenke at center as well. I thought he was a good third round pick, because I like the top three centers in this year's draft. I like Frederick. I like Barrett Jones. I like Brian Schwenke. I think there's a big drop off after those guys. So if the Packers don't get one of those three guys, I'm not too big on the center position. Now the Packers front office certainly probably knows a whole lot better than me. Maybe they do like somebody out there. Maybe there's some small school guy who's kind of off the radar a little bit that they like, and maybe they could bring around as a developmental kind of guy. Maybe there's a guard they think can play center. You know, there's a lot of discussion about Jonathan Cooper of North Carolina and whether he could actually be a center, things like that. Of course, Jonathan Cooper's going to be a first-round NFL draft prospect, so, and he'll probably be off the board by the time the Packers take at number 26. So, but anyway. So, that's the third round. And there's, you know, like I said, almost unanimous decision there with taking Travis Frederick. So, and we're through the fourth round now. Fourth round comes around, and there's discussion again. And as you could see, if you go to mock1.net, we end up taking Texas A&M running back Christine Michael. And I believe we've talked about Michael here on Railbird Central before. Guy from Texas A&M, who is ultra talented, and he really showed that during the East-West Shrine game this year, where he just was heads and tails above all the other running backs. Did a good job at Texas A&M, but there are some off-the-field issues. There are some injury issues with him. There are some red flags with Christine Michael. He's a boomer bust kind of guy. He's the kind of guy who could end up being the best running back in this year's draft class, possibly. And he's a guy who could bust as well. He could be out of the NFL 2 years from now. He missed two interviews at the NFL Combine because he overslept. You kind of wonder about where his dedication is. And that's why he was at a timeshare at Texas A&M. So, you know, that I did not agree with the selection of Christine Michael in the fourth round. Of the people who were left on the board, my preferences were Malicia Goodman of Clemson and John Simon of Ohio State, both of them outside linebackers. Those were my two top preferences. There's some question about Malicia Goodman, whether he is an outside linebacker. He played defensive end at Clemson. He's very big. He's like 6'4", 270-some pounds. There's some question about whether he's actually a defensive lineman or an outside linebacker, whether he is the athletic enough to play outside linebacker. So, that was my preference, was to upgrade that position. You know, Eric Walden leaves in free agency. The Packers have not yet re-signed Frank Zombo. So I think they need ammunition there. They need depth at that position. And Fip asks on the live blog about Jonathan Bostic, or did we want an outside linebacker? Yeah, the Packers have 7 inside linebackers currently on their roster. You know, I'm not crazy about any of them, but, it is what it is. I mean, when you have that much depth at inside linebacker, I now think perhaps drafting Jonathan Bostic is maybe a waste because he'll just be lost in the shuffle. And I like Jonathan Bostic, but the Packers seem to be committed to Brad Jones, A.J. Hawk, Desmond Bishop, D.J. Smith, you name it, Rob Francois. So, my preference was for an outside linebacker. And again, you get into the fourth round here now, and you're talking about some long shots, some guys who may or may not pan out. This Malicia Goodman, he was my top choice. There's questions whether he's even an outside linebacker at all because he did play in a three-point stance at Clemson. Ultra talented, but you don't know if he can make the transition. My second choice was John Simon of Ohio State. He's a guy whose motor never stops, and you love that about him, but he's like 6'1". There aren't too many outside linebackers, 3-4 outside linebackers who are 6'1". That's not a good size. You like him to be taller, but he's a guy who works as hard as Clay Matthews, and you want to see that. And beyond that, another guy who was in the discussion was Georgia Southern safety J.J. Wilcox. He was in the Senior Bowl. I like him. I think he's a little bit of a project because he's the kind of guy who, I believe we've talked about him before back during Senior Bowl time, was a running back before his senior season. John asks on the live blog if you'd consider taking Tony Jefferson. Tony Jefferson of Oklahoma, he's another guy who's like 5'10". Of course, when you get to the fourth round, maybe it's not so bad taking a guy who's like 5'10". Maybe he is 5'11". And I do think Tony Jefferson is a guy who flies around a lot and makes a lot of plays. He misses a lot of tackles. And I remember when I was at the NFL Combine asking him about that, and he says, yeah, I'm guilty of that. I think those were his exact words. He's guilty of that, missing tackles. But it wasn't for a lack of aggressiveness. He just plays with abandonment and tries to sometimes take somebody's head off, and I like that aggressiveness, but he's got to rein it in a little bit. He's a guy you might consider there in those middle rounds taking after the top guys are gone. That's where we're at right now with this mock draft. It's currently in the middle of round 5 sometime today. Sometime in the next few hours, our pick will be coming up again in round 5. And after the show here, I got to kind of see who's left, who's on the board, what picks have been taken recently. So going to have to get updated on that. So That basically gave us a lot to talk about here on this Monday morning episode of Railbird Central. And again, you know, it's almost NFL draft time. That's going to dominate our discussion here for the end of March and pretty much all of April. So excited to do that. So make sure to join us Wednesday. Our guest will be Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com and bleacherreport.com. So we'll be talking to him about the NFL draft and NFL prospects. And, you know, he's been breaking things down over, I know, at Bleacher Report, breaking players down, their strengths, weaknesses, things like that. So it'd be good to talk to Sig. We have him on the show almost every year around this time to talk NFL draft. He's a good friend of mine, online friend. I've never met him in person, but I've actually hired him a few times back when I did the Maple Street Press, and I think he does a great job. So be excited to talk to him then. Trying to line some other things up later in the week, so come back. Our NFL Draft Guide, the Cheesehead TV 2013 NFL Draft Guide, Pro Football Draft Preview, it comes out this week, folks. If you have not pre-ordered your issue yet, do so. You've only got a few days. It goes out on Friday. So the end of this week, it's going out. So if you haven't pre-ordered it already, do so now. You'll save yourself a buck, and you'll make sure it gets to your inbox at the same time as everybody else. So make sure you go ahead and order our draft guide. Alex Talich just tweeted this morning, looks like we're looking at almost 110 pages this year. Last year we were at 99. We were just one short of 100 pages. This year we're looking at 100. I'm not sure we're going to quite get to 110, but right around that range. John asked, where do you pre-order it? There's a link there at the bottom of the page. Just follow it. And actually, to tell you the truth, our pre-order link was down last time I looked at it earlier this morning. We're doing some updates at Cheesehead TV, so bear with us. I think that link will be working later in the day. But yeah, definitely, anytime. Just do it sometime before Friday. You don't have to do it this moment. Pre-order it sometime before Friday so you get the discount. You get it in your inbox by Friday. And we're really excited for that. So anyway, folks, it's past 9 o'clock. We'll see you later. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you again Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Umphrey's McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.